Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Today, I have Doug Fink with Non-Typical Deer Recovery with me. Thanks for coming, Doug.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are going to have a great, great show. And first, I have to give recognition to a world champion of the world. Doug is an absolute world champion deer tracker. I don't know if there have been any official awards, but as far as I've seen personally, there is nobody out there at the level of Doug. Doug, how did you get involved in tracking?
Totally by accident. I've been a deer hunter for a long time, and I've always been interested in dog work. Had bird dogs years ago, but it kind of, my love for deer and deer hunting kind of led me down the path of, when we got a dog, starting to kind of explore things, and actually was going to train the dog to shed hunt. As quick as he picked up the tracking thing, the pup was 14 weeks old and tracking stuff that I haven't seen, I couldn't physically see. And 20 years of bow hunting, I was blown away by what they could follow. So one thing led to another, and started calling buddies and saying, hey, let me track some deer for you. And here we are. This will be our 11th season.
Now, was that Cash?
Yeah.
Love that dog. That dog has done some work. I've seen it firsthand. Amazing dog, amazing nose. So when you're working with a dog like that, you really get to know him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what are some of the things?
I spend more time with him than my wife and kids at that time of year, I'm very, very lucky to have a understanding wife. But, yeah, absolutely. You begin to – that's a big part of the tracking, is reading the dog, understanding what he's doing, and, what the scent does and how the dog works. So, people don't know exactly what it is. We, when a hunter shoots a deer, and you may go into this more, but, if a hunter shoots a deer, typically you would track that by sight. Well, sometimes that blood trail, goes dry. So where the dog comes in is he doesn't need that blood. He can track the deer just where he went by the scent.
And then it's a scent from a specific area, correct?
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of odor that comes off of the deer in different places, but we train them to follow there's an interdigital scent gland on their hooves, and that's what we actually teach them to follow, because we know that's always going to be there. If there's anything that's going to leave, there's other odors that leave, can dissipate in heat and wind and stuff like that. But the one that's going to stay the longest is that interdigital scent gland, because it's directly contacting the earth.
Okay. And then is there any type of increase or decrease in scent, or is it just the most consistent scent?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's a lot of things that affect the scent. You mean as far as like...
Well, I guess that question was more pointed to when a deer is shot and there's a certain type of trauma, do they release an additional scent, or is it just their regular...
We really have no way to know, but we believe there is a fear scent. I mean, that there's some adrenaline scent or something with that.
Okay.
Even people that do man trailing, police canines, stuff like that, they believe that there's some adrenaline given off by the person that's, they're just alluded to the police, that those dogs kind of key in on.
Okay. All right. And so, what kind of breed is Cash?
So Cash is a full blooded Labrador.
Okay.
You can track with many different breeds. There are specialized breeds. I believe it is more into the individual dog, how good they're going to be, not specifically to the breed. There are specialized breeds. Labs are not typically what you see, but they're smart dogs. They love to please you, and they definitely have a good nose.
Okay. And then your other dog that you've brought out tracking, what's his
name? So you've seen Ruby.
Yeah,
is our female lab. Yeah. That was Luke's dog. We started she just turned 4.
Okay.
She's really turned it on last year, so we're having a lot of fun with her.
Yeah, you've been bringing her out to help us recover deer, I think, for 2 years now.
Yeah,
Ruby, and so last year she was full stride.
Yeah, Cass was our first dog. He's he just turned 10. This will be our 11th season. So that first season he was like 5-6 months old, but you know, we weren't really doing it for the public then. You know, one thing led to another. Phone was ringing, so we kind of put it out there a little bit more as he got to be like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years old. So
how did you know that you had something?
Man, it's addicting, really. I've bow hunted for, you know, when I started this, I've probably been bow hunting for 20 years. You know, just the things that the dog could do, it became a huge, it's a game of hide and seek, basically.
Yeah.
And it's a service, you know, so I'm service oriented. Like, I love to go out and help somebody. And when I leave, you know, we've either found the deer or, you know, maybe we haven't, but we at least gave him peace of mind that, you know, it's not out there somewhere. So, you know, it is fun it's addicting. You've seen it happen. So,
oh man, it's next level, because there are various stages, and the way that we've done it at Monarch Rivers is we have a basic checklist of some things that we're looking for is, you know, confidence of the shot, placement of the shot, you know, where are we at in terms of what happened post shot.
Sure.
And then it comes down to, all right, we have to look at this as what's our likelihood of recovery. And then once we've kind of diagnosed that, if there's any type of doubt, that's when I introduce the idea of, hey, one of the options, we have some access to phenomenal dog trackers. Something that you don't know is I usually tell the hunters, I don't know why he makes himself so available for us, but I consider us very lucky that we get Doug. And
I appreciate that.
Well, absolutely. It's the truth. So once we've kind of established that, I let them know, hey, if this comes to a dog, the more we're looking for the next bit of sign, the more we're potentially interrupting the track. So then what will happen is, if in fact we do decide we want to get a dog out, we'll reach out to you first. And that's when I get, like, that's my so the deer getting shot is my first level of excitement. My second level is I get to hear Doug interview the hunter. I don't know if you've ever noticed.
We ask a lot of questions, don't we?
Oh my goodness. But I just throw the hunter to you and sit back and listen. Let's go over some of the important things that we want to, that you want to ask, that a hunter would want to ask themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So
after shooting a deer, let's just track yet, but after shooting a deer.
Right. Well, there's a lot of emotions involved, especially if you're shooting a trophy animal or any animal for that fact, but you know, you were kind of amped up when that all happened. So there's some things that kind of get a little bit blurry. So, you know, we're more looking for, like, what is on the arrow? Did the arrow pass through? You know, what did the deer do after the shot? You know, what kind of hair do you have? Like, a lot of details that we actually have are facts, you know what I mean? So not necessarily what somebody saw or thought they saw. But we do take that into account, obviously, but we put more weight on exactly what evidence we have there. So and all that goes into the puzzle of trying to figure out, like, you know, where was the deer hit? What organs were hit? How long is it going to take that deer to expire? You know, because we can't track a deer before it's ready to expire. We're just going to be pushing it. So that's a very, very important thing that we've learned is wait the right amount of time. But there's a multitude of things, you know, even if you did track it, how many times did it bed? How far apart were the beds? You know, where the wound beds were and that sort of thing. What was in the wound beds? I could go on for days.
I know. We need hours to just even go over some of our stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm out there listening to this, and one of the things that is keying up my attention is, okay, what do I do after I shoot a deer? Let's tag team this a little bit. Step one.
Slow down.
Yes, absolutely. And then step two.
Yeah, so I would, you know, give it plenty of time. see what that deer's reaction was after the shot. You know, try to watch it, pinpoint where it goes. That's, you know, everybody does that, I think, you know, kind of watch it till you can't see it any farther, or, you know, but pay attention how that deer's walking and what he's, or if he's running or what he's doing. And then it, obviously you want to inspect that hit site and mark it, you know, and the reason you mark it is if you end up having to call me out or another tracker with a dog, we're going to start at that spot. So we want to know where it is. We don't want to be looking for it later, looking for, you know, minute details and stuff like that, walking all over. We want to know exactly where it was. And that's, a you know, fresh in your mind at that point. So that would be a good place to mark, inspect that area, see what you've got, slow down and look what's on the arrow. And hopefully, you know, some people may or may not know, but, you know, look at the different types of blood. And if there's anything else on the arrow, is the broadhead bent? You know, there's a multitude of things you can kind of look and tell you whether you should go after that deer right away or not.
And when you see these signs of evidence, take pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're able to help build a better picture or a better idea of what's going on for Doug or any tracker that's coming out to get an idea of, all right, this is this blood looks like this. It looks bright red and bubbly. It looks bright red and thick. It looks dark. It looks, you know, pink and runny. All of these things have an implication based on where that deer was hit. But, you know, we're kind of talking about flashcards, probably, you know, through 10. Let's back up and talk about flashcards 1 through 5. This man right here, and probably other trackers out there, but I've seen this guy right here use these flashcards that are homemade and fantastic. Flashcards 1 through 5 are the deer hair.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we've got an arrow, we're back at camp, giving the deer plenty of time to expire, discussing where it was hit, what the hunter saw. And off of the arrow, we're able to take some samples of hair, place them on a white sheet of paper, take a picture, and text that picture to Doug. Doug, why do we text that picture to you?
Well, that's another piece of the puzzle, you know. So like the blood, the cut, you know, you can send me a picture of blood. I may not be able to exactly tell. But once we start putting multiple things together, like the hair type, you know, because if you're shooting it with a bow, you've got an entry hole and you've got an exit hole, depending on the angle of the deer, which we're going to ask that question as well. You know, how high were you in the tree? How far was the deer? What was the angle? Which we may get accurate information back. We may not. It's, you know, one of them questionable things, but the hairs never lie, you know. So you've got, most people think a deer has either got white hair or brown hair. Well, you know that that's not true after, you know, we've kind of seen it in the past, but they're, you know, deer have different hair. So if you cut the hair off of a deer, for example, the only thing that's dark and brown or black is the very tip. You know, the base of the hair is gray. Mm-hmm. But when you lay them all together on a hide, the only thing you see is the tip. So everything looks brown or black. Or if you lay a hide out on the floor, you know, a rug type of a deer hide, that back is got a black streak down it. Well, those tips on those hairs are black. So if we have those on the arrow, we can allude that you may have shot a little bit higher than, you know, what you thought, or, you know, maybe you thought you did shoot high. So,
or the deer can duck. A lot of things can happen.
Yeah. So just another piece of the puzzle. Nothing's, you know, we never say never, never say always, because there's so many variables in what we're doing, but we do slow down and really look at all the information. That's very important.
So with that, we're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. All right, we are back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Today I have Doug Fink with Non-Typical Deer Recovery. We were just talking about the color code of deer hair and how when you look at the pattern, it'll give you a good indication of where you hit the deer. And Doug, I called it flashcards 1 through 5, are these flashcards that literally show deer hair You know, the deer hair that you find at the spot where the deer was shot, whether it was gun or bow, it's usually some on the ground. The what you consider to be the brown fur actually has a color code, and that color code, and based on length, will show you essentially where your projectile passed through the deer.
Yeah, the you know, another thing we look at with the hair too, Aaron, is the coarseness. You know, sometimes you'll have a real coarse hair. So if you've got an all white hair that's long, skinny, doesn't have any coarseness to it, you know it came down low towards that belly area. Whereas if you get that white hair, pure white again with white tips, always has the, you know, this little curly. It's got a little bit of wiggle to it. That's more towards the brisket. You know, it gets a little bit different. So and this is all minute details that most people wouldn't even think about looking at. But as a you know, as we get called out, we're you know, that's what we're getting called to do, is dissect the situation and try to, you know, determine what's happening. That's even before we put the dog on it. Like, you know, we want to know how long to wait mainly.
Right. And then some of these wait times, and you know, we as deer hunters hear all kinds of different, you know, rules. Wait 30 minutes before you get down. You know, if it's a liver shot, it takes X amount of hours. Doug has got some decent rules based off of his experience. And, you know, some of those would be, you know, where, give us some wait times in terms of where a deer shot or where a hunter thinks a deer shot and how long to wait.
Yeah, it varies. I wouldn't track any deer within an hour of the shot time. I'd give it at least an hour minimum. You know, sometimes maybe three, you know, just depends on, you know, if you've got the patience to kind of wait, because there's nothing worse when you shoot a deer than, you know, you being able to track it and you're watching it run off, because then you got another can of worms you got to deal with. You know, then again, how long do we wait the second time? How, you know, just don't keep pushing it. You know, that's a bad deal. So, yeah, you know, we kind of look at what organs have been impacted. If we think the lungs or heart area, we, you know, 1 to 3 hours is fine. You know, we get a lot of deer that are muscle shot, you know, that are bleeding bright red blood. The deer's really not going to die from that shot most of the time. So, you know, 1 to 3 hours, I think is fair on those deer. If we got anything dark, which comes from, you know, organs behind the diaphragm, liver, gut area, something like that. If we determine and we think it's liver, I'd like to wait 10 to 12 hours. That usually gives that deer time to expire. You know, if we think it's straight gut or we've got grainy stuff, obviously, you know, we give it 24 hours because usually that's about the time period that they're starting to, you know, succumb to the wound. But if you go before that, they've got a lot of life left in them, but yeah, they you know, they are going to expire from the shot. So the important thing is, you know, let them rest, get in there and find them.
How effective is a gut shot?
So we could talk about success rates, should we?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't want to encourage it. I don't want to encourage
so,
it.
So it sounds bad, right? So, you know, if I told you, all the deer we track, we only find 35 to 40% of those deer, it sounds terrible. But in reality, it all depends on where they're hit. If we're talking about gut or liver shot deer, our success is 95% or better sometimes. But those deer can't survive that shot. It's very rare for a deer that's shot there to survive that shot. You know, as you're taught in hunter's safety and probably from your elders and whoever you learn to hunt from, you know, you don't want to gut shoot a deer, right? Well, but that is fatal. So you, as long as you approach it correctly, you know, that deer can be recovered. Then that's an ideal situation for a dog, because what happens with a gut shot or liver or anything back, those intestines kind of plug that hole and keep the blood from coming out on the ground. So they'll have internal bleeding going on, but there won't be anything out, you know, coming out on the ground. So there's nothing to follow by sight. So rather than doing a grid search, which is the only way you can find it by sight, the dog will lock right on and take us right to the deer.
Right. And then the thing that we want to avoid with a grid search, knowing that we don't have a blood trail, is you can pick up the scent of the deer on your boots as you're following either the trail by accident or where you were following a blood trail before it stopped.
Sure.
And now everywhere you walk.
It just makes it confusing for the dog, right?
Right.
So if you think you're getting to a point where you might need a dog, We ask that, you know, you back out, call us, let's talk about it, let's come up with a plan to find it that leaves a clean track for the deer or for the dog to figure out where the deer went. Whereas if, you know, you went out there with four or five buddies and walked all over, you've stepped in blood, you're just muddying up the path for the dog to try to figure out. Usually we can still figure it out, but it can take a lot longer, and sometimes it's detrimental to the track if it's super dry, you know, dry conditions.
Right. And I think I can speak for us both when we're saying we're advocating for clean, humane kills, aiming Absolutely. For the breadbasket, aiming for the vitals. But this is deer hunting and things do happen. So
Absolutely.
You do get gut shots. That is just part of it. And if you're willing to pull the trigger on the animal, you know, you ought to want to recover it.
Sure. Yeah, what we see a lot of times, Aaron, as you know, and you talk to your hunters, I mean, what happens a lot during the rut, those bucks are amped up and they're with a doe, and you know, they'll take that little step just as you're getting ready to release that arrow or pull the trigger, and that shot goes back just a little bit, you know, it just happens that fast.
Especially in archery.
Yeah, absolutely. It can happen. But yeah, obviously you want to shoot, you know, double lung them if you can, and watch that deer go down. But if you don't see it go down in sight, give it at least an hour and then start, you know, looking at those details we're talking about.
Yeah, picking up those clues. Well, man, I am amped about talking about this stuff, and we have already run out of time. So let's see if you could give some of your socials out, your website, so people can find you.
Yeah, so mainly what we I don't personally have a website, but we use Non-Typical Deer Recovery is on Facebook and Instagram. If anybody wants to take a look at, you know, what we've done or what we do and learn a little bit more about it, or just watch the dogs work. Sometimes we put some videos and stuff on there. But yeah, that's pretty much the best way. If somebody wants to contact me during season, if they find, you know, a situation, my phone number, cell number is 314-680-6391.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So glad to be talking about this stuff.
Good stuff.